Everyone. I am honored to be your deacon of the month this morning, and we'll be sharing God's holy word. The scripture is found in the New Testament within the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. You can find them in your pew Bible on page 936, or you can follow along on the prompter. I will be reading from the New International Version. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened to him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Most large companies have a mission statement. It's a brief description of what the company is about, the goods and services that the company provides, the reasons that customers should want to patronize that company. Most large nonprofits have a mission statement. Again, it's a brief description of what the nonprofit is all about, what services it provides, and why the donors and volunteers should want to support that nonprofit. Mission statements are also aimed at the employees of the company or the employees and volunteers of the nonprofit. They help those who work for the company or who serve at the nonprofit to keep sight of the goals that they are all working toward. Now we're going to show you a series of mission statements from a variety of nonprofits. And after reading each statement, I'm going to let you guess what nonprofit it represents. Some are more obvious than others. Celebrating Animals Confronting Cruelty. The Humane Society. The Increase and Diffusion of Knowledge. I didn't get this one. Smithsonian. To Honor and Empower Wounded Warriors. Yeah, you knew that one. To Create Content That Educates, Informs, and Inspires. PBS. Lifts the Spirit of American Troops and Their Families. Yep. Inspiring America to Provide to Protect Wildlife for Our Children's Future. The National Wildlife Federation. There are a couple of organizations that might apply to. To Build Healthier Lives Free of Cardiovascular Disease and Stroke. To Create Lasting Solutions to Poverty, Hunger, and Social Injustice. That could be several organizations. To Preserve the Natural Systems on Which Life Depends, Environmental Defense Fund. To Serve Individuals and Families in the Poorest Communities in the World. CARE. To Work with Communities to End Hunger and Poverty and Care for the Earth. The Heifer Project. To Provide Effective Means for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Throughout the United States. That one, almost the title's in there. American Society Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Okay. To Undertake Research and Action Focused on Preventing and Ending Grave Abuses of Human Rights. Amnesty International. We help moms have full-term pregnancies and research the problems that threaten the health of babies. March of Dimes. Seeking to put God's love into action, bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope. Yep, Habitat for Humanity. Growing the movement of leaders who work to ensure that kids growing up in poverty get an excellent education. Teach for America. We grant the wishes of children with life-threatening medical conditions to enrich the human experience with hope, strength, and joy. Make-A-Wish Foundation prevents and alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers, the generosity of donors. American Red Cross, works in nearly 70 countries, providing aid to those most in need, regardless of their race, religion, or political affiliation. The medical aid should tell you it's Doctors Without Borders, fighting every minute of every day to finish what we started and achieve our vision of a world without breast cancer. Yep, Susan G. Komen, Race for the Cure. To enhance the quality of life for all as we age. AARP. Yep. All right, now I'm going to give you an easy one. To prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and Law. Boy Scouts of America. All right. Well, how'd you do? My guess is you got a lot of them. Some of them it's easier to guess from the mission statement than from others. A mission statement should summarize what the nonprofit is all about. Well, did you know that people can have mission statements? A personal mission statement can be a statement of what you do and who you are. It can be a statement of what you value, what you believe in. It can be a statement of your purpose, your goal in life, your reason for being. It can be a statement of what you hope to achieve or what kind of person that you aspire to be. A personal mission statement can identify what is important to you. Stephen Covey, in his book, First Things First, refers to developing a personal mission statement as connecting with your own unique purpose and profound satisfaction that comes from fulfilling it. Well, in our scripture for this morning, Jesus articulated his personal mission statement. It was near the beginning of his public ministry, shortly after his temptations in the wilderness. And during those temptations, Jesus defined what God's calling was for his life and what he would be about in fulfilling that calling. And then, filled with the power of the Spirit, Jesus returned to Galilee, where he began teaching in the synagogues. Now, when he came to his hometown of Nazareth, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And no doubt many of the worshipers recognized him, for they had seen him grow up. They had heard reports about what he was doing in the other towns, and now they were probably curious to see what Jesus would have to say when he'd come back home. Well, Jesus stood up to read the scripture, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the particular passage that he wanted to read, a passage that he would use to describe what he was all about. That particular passage from the prophet Isaiah would become Jesus' personal mission statement. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and all eyes were fixed on him to see what he would have to say next. And then he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. Jesus was declaring to his neighbors and his friends what his life was all about. He was no longer the little boy playing in the carpenter shop, the little fellow running around the streets of Nazareth. He was now a grown man, 30 years old, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was declaring what his mission in life would be: to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And really, that's a description of what Jesus' life was about. You know, we tend to focus on the end of his life and what Jesus did for us on the cross, But in the 3+ years before he died for our sins, Jesus went about doing good. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer called him the man for others, because he would devote his life to the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed. And if we would follow Jesus, that must be our mission too. I think that mission statement is expressed by what we do in our church and what we do in our individual lives. For example, today, we can help the poor through the Super Bowl of Caring, that offering we receive on Super Bowl Sunday. Many of you brought in canned goods for the Bowie Pantry or produce for Martha's Table. That is also a way that we can help the poor. Next month, we're going to be hosting warm nights here in our church. Some homeless individuals will be coming and staying in our church building. We'll be providing food and shelter and other support. Yet another means in which we can fulfill that mission to give good news to the poor. And we do that because Jesus taught us that is our mission. That's what we're about as his followers. Also, we can raise our voices on behalf of the oppressed, especially refugees from war and persecution. This is the mission of Jesus. Our church has a bit of a mission statement. We don't really call it that, but I think that's what it is. Our mission statement is, we reserve the right to accept everyone. Now, I did not create that. It was created by our former pastor, Dr. Dan Ivins, some years ago. And I asked Dan about it one time. I said, how did you come up with that phrase, we reserve the right to accept everybody? And Dan told me that he was raised in segregated Tennessee back in the 1950s and the 1960s. And when he was a boy, he'd noticed that in many of the shops in his town, there'd be a sign in the shop window that said, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. It was a way of maintaining racial segregation and discrimination. And Dan thought about that sign in the shop window, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, and he turned it upside down and he said, no, we reserve the right to accept everyone. And he introduced that to our church as kind of the motto or the slogan that our church would live by. And we've kept Dan's slogan as a mission statement because that's what this church has been about throughout its history, reserving the right to accept everyone. And when you think about it, that's what the elements on this Lord's Supper table represent. Because Jesus reserved the right to accept everyone. None of us deserves what Jesus did for us on the cross. And yet he died to forgive us, undeserving as we are. And he died to forgive every person, undeserving as we are. And when we accept him as our Savior and Lord, we receive his forgiveness and his salvation and peace with God and peace with each other and a purpose in life, a mission to fulfill. I want to challenge you to think about your own personal mission statement, about what God is calling you to do, about your purpose in life. And I'll give you an idea to begin with. Maybe this could be a personal mission statement for any of us. Follow Jesus. Do good. Live in peace. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own.
As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me. May we pray.
Lord, we ask that you would calm our minds, still our hearts as we come to this table of communion. We ask that each one of us might be drawn to walk closer with you. We have no words of gratitude to express our thanks to you for what you have done. We are amazed that each one of us is so precious to you that you would lay down your life for us. As we receive this bread, help us to remember again your call to spread your love and mercy in this world.
Closer to you. Help us also to remember his commitment. life until he comes. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate our communion with one another in the fellowship of the church. It could be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism, become a part of our church family. Or if you've already made that commitment of your life to Christ, but you're not a part of our church in an official capacity, perhaps you'd like to join by transfer your membership. In either case, we invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn. It's hymn number 496, Footsteps of Jesus.